Anvil Rock's eyes opened wide. He started to shoot something back, then visibly made himself pause.
All right, he conceded grudgingly. Fair enough. I'll try to stop venting my spleen.
A little venting is perfectly all right with us, Rysel, Lindar told him with a slight smile. It's not as if the rest of us don't feel exactly the same way from time to time. Still, Terrell has a point. From my read, the Viceroy General...
It was clear to Garvai that Lindar had used Sherman's official title deliberately.
He's still doing his best to avoid stepping on us any harder than he has to.
Anvil Rock looked as if he would have liked to dispute that analysis. Instead, he nodded.
I have to admit he's at least taking pains to be courteous, he said. And truth to tell, I appreciate it. But the unfortunate fact, Raymond, is that he's not telling us anything we don't know. And the even more unfortunate fact is that, at the moment, I don't see a damned thing we can do about it.
He looked around the table, as if inviting suggestions from his fellows. None, however, seemed to be forthcoming, and he snorted sourly.
May I assume the Viceroy General was expressing his concern over the latest incidents?
Garvai asked after a moment, and his father nodded.
That's exactly what he was doing, and I don't blame him, really. In fact, if I were in his position, I'd probably be doing more than just expressing concern by this point.
Garvai nodded soberly. Given the white-hot tide of fury which had swept Coruscant following Prince Hector's assassination, it wasn't surprising the princedom seethed with resentment and hatred. Nor was it especially surprising that the resentment and hatred in question should spill over into public demonstrations, which had a pronounced tendency to slide over into riots. Riots which seemed to be invariably punctuated by looting and arson as well, if the city guard or, more often than Garvai liked, Sherman's marines didn't get them quenched almost immediately. By an odd turn of fate, the people suffering most frequently from that arson tended to be merchants and shopkeepers, many of whom had been blamed for profiteering and price gouging once the Carizian blockade of Coruscant had truly begun to bite. Garvai was certain quite a few long-standing private scores, which had damn all to do with loyalty to the House of Dakin, were being settled under cover of those riots, and, for that matter, that some of that arson was intended to destroy records of just who owed what to whom. Although he was in no position to prove anything of the sort, yet, at least. But even if some of the motivation was somewhat less selfless than outraged patriotism and fury over Hector's assassination, there was no denying the genuine anger at Karis's foreign occupation of Coruscant, which was boiling away at the bottom of it. And, inevitable or not, understandable or not, the unrest that anger engendered had equally inevitable consequences of its own. The terms Emperor Caleb had imposed were far less punitive than they could have been, especially in light of the decades of hostility between Karis and Coruscant. All the same, Garvai was certain they were more punitive than Caleb would really have preferred. Unfortunately, the Emperor had been able to read the writing on the wall as clearly as anyone else.
I agree, Father, he said out loud. I suppose it's a good thing, under the circumstances, that the Viceroy General recognizes the inevitability of this sort of thing. At least he isn't likely to overreact.
Yet, at least, North Coast said.
The Earl was a thick-set man, getting a bit thicker through the belly as he settled into middle age. His thinning hair still held a few embers of the fiery red of his youth, and his gray eyes were worried.
I don't think he's likely to overreact, no matter what happens, my lord, Garvai said frankly. Unfortunately, if we can't get a handle on this unrest, I think he's going to feel forced to take considerably more forceful steps of his own. Frankly, I don't see that he'll have any choice.
I have to agree with you, Corin,
Earl Aerith said somberly.
But when he does, I'm afraid it's only going to make things worse.
Which is undoubtedly why he's showing restraint so far, Lindar pointed out.
He shifted in his chair slightly, facing Garvai more squarely.
Which, in turn, brings us to you, Sir Curran.
I know, Garvai sighed. You said you had a report from Alec? Anvil Rock asked.
Yes, in fact, that report is probably the closest thing to good news I've gotten lately. He says his mounted constables are just about ready.
That is good news, Anvil Rock said, although his feelings were obviously at least somewhat mixed, for which Garvai didn't blame him a bit.
Sir Alec Arthur, the Earl of Windshire, had a reputation as something of a blunt object. A well-deserved reputation, if Garvai was going to be honest about it. He'd been accused, on more than one occasion, of thinking with his spurs, and no dictionary was ever going to use Windshire to illustrate the words calmly reasoned response. On the other hand, he was aware he wasn't the most brilliant man ever born, and Garvai knew better than most that the impetuous Earl had actually learned to stop and think for, oh, at least 30 or 40 seconds, before charging headlong into the fray. In many ways, he was far from the ideal commander for the mounted patrols about to assume responsibility for maintaining order in the countryside. Yet he had two shining qualifications which outweighed any limitations.